Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into a game day edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth. Taking you through this Thursday morning, this exciting Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, we've had our fair share of, like, game day shows. I mean, between Monday Night Football, the unexpected Tuesday Night Football, and now some Thursday Night Football, all we're missing is some Wednesday and some Friday, and we'll have the whole week covered.
Yeah, if we wanted to do a little maction, you know, we could get some Wednesday going.
Did you see the fake spike last night by Western Michigan?
I did not.
You will have to go look at it. Port, did you see it?
I did not.
Oh, man. Maction at its finest.
Can I find it? I'm going to look for it right now.
You could find it.
A fake spike.
Fake spike executed perfectly for a late touchdown.
Okay. I love the fake spike. That's the Dan Marino. You guys
Correct.
Remember that play, right?
Oh,
Dan
yes.
Marino against the Jets.
Absolutely.
That's the first time I think it's ever been done.
Yeah.
Was it for the win? For
yeah.
Western?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was, yeah.
Go Broncos, baby.
Yeah,
I love
baby.
It.
Yeah, it was awesome. Of course, I didn't watch it live last night, but I heard about it, and then I saw it on Twitter this morning.
I wouldn't expect you to be watching Western Michigan football.
You don't think so?
But, look, I saw a ton of people tweeting about Maction last night. It is brilliant.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
It is brilliant by the Mac to play all of their games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. What else we got to do?
Well, yeah. And, you know, those schools and – I think Middle gets into this a little bit sometimes, but those schools, a lot of their students aren't going to their games. They're watching Michigan State, right? Or
right.
going to those games or whatever. So, I mean, this gives them their own little window, and it's like, hey, come out to this. It's a night game. It's prime time. It is brilliant. And the whole country talks about it, or they get lost on a Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. So this is how you provide some spotlight to the wonderfulness that is Maction out there, baby.
Especially with no other sports going on.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah.
There's no hockey right now. There's no basketball
like
there normally is at this time of year. So
Maction stands alone.
I'm all for it.
That should be a slogan. That should be a t-shirt. The Maction stands alone. We're coming up with high-dollar ideas
Let's
here.
Let's do it.
It just means more when Maction stands alone.
Oh, there we go. Getting a little bit of infringement. Get some lawsuits going.
There you go.
You know where it's not going to mean a whole lot this weekend? The SEC. Not a whole lot going to be going on in SEC football this weekend. Four games have been postponed. No Georgia-Missouri. No Texas A&M-Tennessee. No Auburn-Mississippi State. And no Alabama and LSU. And, oh, by the way, Arkansas's head coach has tested positive for COVID-19, and they play against Florida, and Kentucky's had some coaches test positive for COVID-19. So the SEC totally in flux this weekend. It was a crazy last couple of days, and even, Joe, yesterday we were talking about, like, the A&M-Tennessee game and Alabama-LSU specifically, and, like, right as we were going off the air, Georgia and Missouri got postponed yesterday as well. And Missouri, one of those teams that already has to play a game on December the 12th. So more scheduling problems for the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, you just call some of them canceled and leave it at that. You're not going to get them all in. And there's word around the campfire, as in some of the athletic folks, is that Kentucky, Vanderbilt, very much in jeopardy right now. You know, we'll see. Derek Mason was pretty confident yesterday they were going to play it. But, I mean, I think was it Texas A&M? They have two positives, right? Two positives.
Yeah.
So two positives and contact tracing. So stay tuned on that one. Hopefully the SEC will have some sort of football representing the conference this weekend. But, I mean, I guess there's one game, that the Ole Miss-South Carolina game right now is
looking like it's in
untouched.
Good shape.
Yeah, that one stands alone, maybe.
We have Pigskin pick 'em at 9:30 this morning.
Yeah.
Are we confident that any college football games that we pick are actually going to happen?
No, we're not.
That's a good question.
I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, huh.
May just have to go strictly NFL.
Who am I going to pick today in college football?
I need the
Maybe
college,
we'll all
though.
Just hammer down on Ole Miss and South Carolina.
Yeah, I need college football because I pick those games well. I'm terrible at picking the NFL.
Let's go with the NFL. Yeah. Robbie, let's just
we
go NFL.
This. I had a terrible week a week ago. This is an opportunity, Rex Road, for you to improve. We're always looking to improve. We're like Vrabel.
That's
right. Got to have these opportunities.
Got to pick better. Got to choose better.
Got to execute better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's not just the SEC. Some big news out of the Big Ten yesterday as well. Ohio State and Maryland, their game will not be played this weekend either. So we've talked about this,
and that's out. That's over.
Yeah, that's not going to be made up. It's just done. Right. So we've talked about this, Joe, about Ohio State and the Big Ten as a whole. Going to lose some games along the way here. The only question I have with Ohio State, and maybe we're already past that point, I don't know, but at what point do the games getting canceled have an effect on what Ohio State's either postseason future could look like, or maybe even more specifically, Justin Fields and the Heisman Trophy? Like, what disqualifies him for being a part of that discussion? Like, do they end up with four or five games? Can he, like, not win at that point? It's interesting. I think that's a matter of, I guess, the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't think that would disqualify him, but I think with that Heisman race, usually you need a big moment in a big game. So what will that be for him? I mean, basically, I guess Michigan is still the – I mean, what's –
is that really going to be a big game?
Right. I mean, that's kind of one of the problems. I mean, like, again, right now they're having us do little polls every week at The Athletic on our favorites. Right now I've got him first. And I've actually got, shout out to Drew Chester, who's just dogging me on Twitter, Mac Jones second.
Yes.
I put Trevor Lawrence down to
you
three.
You give Mac Jones his love.
Great numbers. But, you know, also for him, I mean, I guess you could say Mac Jones had an awfully good night against Georgia. So
he did.
That's good. But usually the Heisman winner has something like that. I don't think, though, again, I'm going to go back to, it's just like with the teams. Just like with the teams, go to the players too. There's a lot of fat on a college football schedule in a regular year. So great, Justin Fields had 450 and five touchdowns against, you know, I'm trying to think of who the crappiest Big Ten. I mean, Rutgers is actually okay now. he did that against Rutgers.
Yeah.
You know, it's whoever. Northwestern, they're undefeated. They might play for the national championship. You know what I'm saying? You got three or four games that matter. Right?
Penn State's pretty crappy this year.
Yeah, Penn State's not very good.
They are. Exactly.
You know, Michigan's
not
very good.
That's a problem for Justin Fields. Like, he had a good game on primetime. That's why I was like, oh, look at him at Penn State. But it's like, okay, well, they also got smoked by little Tua, you know? So,
yeah.
Which, actually, that would have been a fun game this week. With Maryland playing like that, at least an offensive game. But, yeah, it's there's three or four games that matter, if that many. Sometimes there's two or three. So I don't think that the overall total should matter. Some people are going to disagree with me, but we knew that it was going to be all over the map.
We did. Now, the overall total has to matter for something, and that's what we've argued about for months now, talking about this with Ohio State. But I don't know, like, with Alabama, with Mac Jones, they're going to end up, obviously, with more games played than Ohio State is. But who is, like, Georgia's defense just got destroyed the other day by Florida. Like, I'm not sure what his big game moment is because they've been up so much against everybody they played so far.
Yeah. I mean, look, sometimes the Heisman race is an accumulation of numbers. The one that I remember, I don't even know if I had him in my top three. I probably did, but Jason White for Oklahoma, and this is going back.
Oh, yeah.
But
what was that, 02?
03, I think. And I remember just being – and I want to look back at that vote, too, because I believe I voted for Larry Fitzgerald, and I thought he was easily the better player. But Jason White won. They had huge numbers as an offense. He had huge numbers. That was a system to me. Like, that was a classic. That was a system quarterback. People weren't caught up to that offense. They had more talent than everybody, and he had monster numbers. And I was like, he's not that great.
Yeah.
But he won the Heisman. Sometimes that happens. So maybe for a Mac Jones, if he has – monster numbers and just more, a lot more, like, if, you know, than like, for example, against Justin Fields, that I could kind of see that making a difference. Now, Trevor Lawrence is going to have – he's going to be pretty close in total number of games played. He's going to miss one game. So how does a guy like Mac Jones leapfrog him? He probably doesn't.
Are you comparing Mac Jones to Jason White to get back on Drew Chester's bad side?
No.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that's an example of, you know, accumulation of big numbers,
right?
Winning. Yeah, because it was that year that Larry Fitzgerald, who I voted for Larry Fitzgerald. I believe Larry Fitzgerald should have won the Heisman. You know,
probably a good
receivers
call by
don't
you
win the Heisman that much. But Third place that year was Eli Manning, by the way, as a senior at Ole Miss. And Jason White. So he had monster numbers, and that got it done for him, and they were a great team. So sometimes that happens, but usually you have to have a moment.
Yeah.
So what's the moment? What's the moment possibility for any of these guys, you know? That's the problem, is that, like, I guess Clemson, you know, they get a shot at Notre Dame, but that'll be after the voting, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's an interesting predicament.
So a lot of it, you know what it'll be? It'll be your preconceived notions will have a lot to do with it. And so it'll probably be Trevor Lawrence.
Wow. Even with missing a couple of games, Trevor Lawrence sneaking his way back in there.
I'm just guessing, but I think
you're probably on to something there, would be my guess. I mean, it's got to be between those three at this point.
And I'd love to. I love when it's a non-quarterback sneaks up there. Like, yeah. I was hoping like a Najee Harris would have just a monster year, right?
Yeah.
Or honestly, I maybe Waddle could have been a guy this year. I mean, even Devontae Smith is getting a little bit of love for that, but it almost always goes back to the QBs. I mean, yeah, you're looking at Justin Fields' schedule. Well, hey, he's got Indiana. There you go. Penix Fields.
Yeah. There's the big moment game.
That's the biggest game left on the schedule.
Hopefully it gets played
for
the sake of Ohio State and Indiana. We're going to have you covered all day long here on 102.5 The Game. Titans and Colts, a big one coming up tonight. We're doing something fun at 8 o'clock. We're going to join in Indianapolis, the Fan Morning Show on 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. We're going to kind of have a simulcast, the best way to call it, a fun banter, a debate back and forth between the Titans and Colts. So looking forward to that around 8 o'clock. Of course, our man Ryan McGee joining us today at 7 o'clock, and Jim Wyatt from the Tennessee Titans website joining us at 9 o'clock. So a lot to get to today for the Titans and the Colts. It's game day here in Nashville. Porth, do you feel any better about this game this morning than you did yesterday? Because you were not a sunshine pumper yesterday at all.
It's 6:12 a.m. We are about 13 hours from kickoff, 13 hours and 8 minutes from kickoff, and I'm already stressed.
Already?
I've been stressed all week. And, no, I don't feel any better about it.
Nothing.
Wow.
No, like, I thought yesterday may have been a group therapy session for Porth to get in a better spot coming into this game. I think it may have made it worse.
I have to see this team beat the Colts, especially at home, for me to feel better about facing this darn team.
They just beat them last time they played.
Not at home.
When is the last time they beat him at home?
Oh, that was 2017, the Taywan Taylor game.
2017.
Colts have won 7 of the last 8 here.
Yeah.
What did Taywan Taylor do that night?
Just one big play. It was like the game-winning touchdown in the fourth quarter, like 50-yard.
That wasn't that long ago.
It was the only play he ever made in a Titans uniform.
What's he doing right now? Do we know where Taywan Taylor is?
I don't know.
He was in Cleveland, wasn't he? I don't think he's there anymore.
He was in Cleveland. Yep. Yeah, I don't think he's in the league anymore.
Yeah.
He made a couple plays.
A couple.
Well,
but do you remember them?
No, I don't think so.
Actually, you know when they beat the Eagles? Remember that game? I think he had a huge game. Remember the Eagles game where Corey Davis caught the winning TD?
Yeah.
I go back and look at the box score. I think Taywan Taylor actually had a monster game.
Okay, I'll hold you
to
that.
It's the classic thing. Whoever leaves, oh, they suck now. Marcus sucked. Butch never won a game. Taywan was
Vic
bad.
Beasley.
Taywan was
Taywan was pretty bad.
Yeah, Vic Beasley. Come on.
Vic Beasley was garbage.
We forget all the plays he made.
We really did. That guy was a playmaking machine.
Yeah, see,
during his time with the Titans. Give him his respect.
Exactly.
Man, just underselling him. I won't stand for it.
I'm sorry you feel this way. You know, here's the thing, Porth. You only get like 16 football games a year anyway, right?
Sure.
And you only get 2 chances to beat the Colts every year. So embrace the potential heartbreak.
Yes.
You know? It's better. There's at least an excitement that goes with a game like this, right?
Yeah, put yourself
some
out
butterflies.
There,
butterflies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Embrace the moment, man.
I'm not excited about tonight.
I don't think he's going to embrace this.
I am stressed out.
At all. When we come
curl
back.
Curl up into a ball.
Some big injury news for both teams heading into this matchup tonight. We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Thursday morning, a game day morning for the Titans and the Colts tonight. Nissan Stadium, the eyes of the NFL on this game tonight. Both of you have checked out the fake spike play, by the way, from Western Michigan last night, and Joe is just dumbfounded.
Well, great play. Good job by Western. But, like, how do you – I mean, he wasn't even covered in the first place. Like, the receiver is just alone. That's – so they scored two TDs in the last minute. That's amazing. That is some great action, but bad job, Toledo. I'm a little bit more on the negative side with that play. Like, Toledo.
A whole new meaning to Holy Toledo. Another edition of it.
There you go. Like, the Marino play, you know, the DB was out there. It was just enough of a – you know, lull to sleep, you know, get him a step behind the receiver, touchdown. This was just like, hey, I'm over here. And there's like a linebacker from Toledo, like, someone go see that guy? He's out there? Boy, unbelievable.
The entire secondary for Toledo was participating in the mannequin challenge.
Ah, yes. The mannequin challenge.
Just statues in the end zone.
I'm glad that's not a thing anymore.
Lose the game.
I forgot about the mannequin challenge.
There's too many challenges to keep up with.
Nick Foles and Phillip Rivers.
Oh. I mean, two more participants in the mannequin challenge.
As Titans opposing quarterbacks go, they won't find too many better candidates than those two.
They will not. And some injury news from the Titans yesterday, as expected. Adoree Jackson activated yesterday off of injured reserve, but will not play tonight against Indianapolis. Adam Humphreys out tonight as well. Looks like Roger Saffold and Jadeveon Clowney will both be in. So
they're in.
Kind of a mixed bag of injury news there for the Titans, but I think we expected at this point, with Humphreys not being on the field at any point this week, that he would miss this game against the Colts.
Yeah, and a big, I mean, and we don't know about Corey Davis. Speaking of Western Michigan football, Western Michigan alum Corey Davis, his brother, Central Michigan alum Titus Davis, passed away. Awful, awful story.
Yeah.
27 years old, you know, and it's a rare cancer. And this was, I did not know about this until it was renal medullary carcinoma. It's a kidney cancer. So very close with his brother. He was not there yesterday. And so, you know, we'll find out today. Certainly could not blame him at all for not being there tonight. Really awful, awful story, awful news. And, again, like, they were very close. You never know what someone's going through. So this is all year long, Corey Davis, because this was apparently diagnosed in the summer. So all season long, Corey Davis been dealing with this, brother fighting for his life. And so we'll as the day progresses, and it may be, you know, basically when the guys come on the field today, we find out if he's going to be there. Certainly could not blame him at all for not being there.
No, like, I don't pretend to know what Corey Davis is going to do tonight, but I mean, I just know trying to put myself in that situation, it would be so hard to come out and do that. So I mean, you see, sometimes people, when tragic situations happen, they come back and play and try to get their mind off of things, and sometimes they don't. To be honest, if I'm Corey Davis, whatever you want to do, man.
Yeah,
it's hard to blame you either way.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people play and it's some sort of help to them to, like you said, be distracted, to try to focus on the job. But you're talking the day after he passed away.
Right. Just awful, awful news yesterday coming out about Corey Davis's brother, Titus. We got a poll question up at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. We're going to get to this throughout the day here on Robbie and Rex Road. A big rivalry game tonight between the Titans and the Colts. Today's poll question: Titans fans, which of these rivals do you hate the most? The Colts, the Jaguars, the Ravens, or other? And you can list your other options if need be. So far, 83 votes in, 45% say the Colts, just 8% say the Jaguars, 43% say the Ravens, and 4% so far have listed other, and some of the replies are going both ways to the Steelers from the two I've seen so far.
So no Texans love.
No Texans.
Slash hate.
Yeah, no Texans.
It's more the other way.
I think the Texans fans view the Titans a little bit differently as, hey, you stole our team.
Right.
Now we've got this new one. But
right, that's our team.
Are we surprised by, like, so far in the early returns? Not a whole lot of Jacksonville Jaguars hate so far, just 8%.
I think it's the fans, right?
Right.
So fans don't hate the Jaguars, but they hate Jaguars fans. I guess, right. So it's almost like two different rivalries. You know, it's like the team, which team do you hate more? I can see the Jaguars not being up there because, I mean, right now they're bad. It's also what's happening in the moment. But I do think, based on what I see, that Titans and Jags fans share a little bitterness and sort of like, you know, you're fraudulent. You had a fraudulent little run that year. You know, you guys are, you know, enjoy your 9-7, whatever. A lot of back and forth. I don't see that much back and forth of the other ones. But the teams, Colts and Ravens, make sense as your top two.
I think Ravens is going to win this at the end of the day.
Well, I think, if you did this poll in July, would it be different than today that they're playing the Colts?
Maybe.
Probably, right?
That's a fair question.
Yeah.
You know, people
I still
are
think it's
geared up.
Ravens.
Yeah, I think you may be right. But people are geared up right now for the Colts. I think it should be more for the Colts because of what they've done to you over the years. But the Ravens take those huge shots and take out two of your best teams. They've really gotten a lot of bang for their buck.
I'm interested to see how like the hate for the Colts intensifies tonight. Not really like either way the game goes, like even if the Titans win, but just as Phillip Rivers as the quarterback of the Colts, because I feel like he is such a polarizing guy. Like you watch him play on the field, and even me, like I've watched Chargers games before that I have no rooting interest in whatsoever, like Chargers and Chiefs, and I'm just watching a game, and I watch Phillip Rivers play sometimes, and he's out there yelling at his own guys. I'm like, man, if I would turn around and throw a football at that dude's forehead. Like, I think that's going to happen tonight with some Titans fans where you're like, man, I really don't like Phillip Rivers, and he may not be saying anything bad at all out there. I don't know, but just the gestures and everything he goes through, I think a lot of Titans fans tonight are going to look at him and be like, man, I really don't like that guy.
Yeah, it's a good point. Now he's not going to be around long, probably, right? So
probably not.
You got to enjoy this little window of time. But yeah, the last guy, hard to hate, nerdy Andrew Luck, as we've talked about. And then the guy before that, you love and you wear his 16 jersey all over town. So this is a chance to really hate that quarterback. I got a Buffalo Bills fan on here saying, flipping it around, as a lifelong Bills fan, the answer is simple, the Titans.
Mm, because of one play.
One play. But that team, that Buffalo Bills team wasn't very good anyway. Rob Johnson at quarterback, they weren't doing anything. Come on.
Yeah, Buffalo fans act like the Titans like robbed them of a Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, like that was after year after year of having to watch them lose in the Super Bowl when they had good teams.
I mean, come on.
That was a shocking – honestly, that was a big upset that they were about to pull off here.
Yeah.
They were not as good as the Titans.
I mean, come on. Wade Phillips was their head coach.
Yeah. We've seen how that goes.
Exactly.
He's a great coordinator.
How could you have high expectations when Wade Phillips is your head coach?
He's no Marv. And that play, too, that's – astounding to me that anyone still, like Bills fan, tries to throw out like that it was a forward pass. I mean, it's clearly not. I don't understand that. Like Adam Schefter a couple years ago tweeted something about it. I was like, shut up. What are you talking about?
They did those sports science things they used to do on ESPN? They did one of those on it, and like it's not even close. It's a lateral. Get over it, Bills fans.
I mean, I know naked eye right away, you wonder. But then as soon as they showed the replay, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's a lateral.
Like there's a replay on ABC that Bills fans will continue to go to and say it's a forward lateral. But there's another replay on that ABC feed where it is clear, it is right on the line, and it is a legal lateral.
Yeah.
And I want to say, like, Joe Theismann was on the call in that game, and he said it was a forward pass, which made me all the more confident it was a lateral. I was like, yeah, all right, cool.
How would Joe Theismann know what a forward pass is?
Oh, you little bit of shots.
I used to be a big Joe Theismann fan.
Were you?
He mostly handed off to John Riggins, but he threw some balls to Art Monk. You know,
yeah,
little Alvin Garrett, absolutely Super Bowl winner, baby.
Maybe an underrated part of this matchup tonight, and the one that we haven't talked about, the coaching matchup: Frank Reich, Mike Vrabel, two of, I think, the top coaches in the entire league right now. What do you make of Frank Reich and Mike Vrabel, that matchup? Two very, very smart football coaches on the field tonight.
Well, and Vrabel interviewed for that job.
He did.
Which is interesting. And I want to say it was around last year, maybe after the Colts won here. There was a certain point last year where there was a lot of, like, Frank Reich is the next great one. He's a genius. And there was some comparing with Vrabel. Remember, Vrabel last year, they had some late game decisions that were certainly open to be questioned. And at some point it was like, oh man, the Colts just they hit the lottery and look what the Titans have. And then of course we saw what happened with the rest of the year. They switch at quarterback, they go to the AFC Championship game. Now I think it's earlier this year, people talking about Vrabel for coach of the year, especially after that his clock stuff late in the game. So I think you're right. You say one of the tops. I guess we're going to rank receivers later. I guess I'd be interested to know where those guys actually rank in this league. A lot of good coaches. But I think they are two of the up-and-coming really good coaches in the NFL.
When we come back, we talked a lot yesterday about the formula for the Titans to win this game. What's the formula for the Indianapolis Colts tonight against the Titans? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Thursday morning, a game day morning. Titans and Colts tonight. I'm fired up about it. Ryan Porth as nervous as can be. I guess Rex Road's fired up about it. How you feeling?
I'm fired up. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Just a regular football, like a really good football game between two teams, you know? Good stuff.
Do you think there's going to be some running tonight?
I think there will be some running. I think there'll be some attempts to run tonight.
You think there'll be some passing?
I feel like both of these we talk about these coaches.
Yeah.
They're both up-and-coming coaches, and they actually think that you should try to do both.
Really?
They do.
You think they'll have
tonight? You can run it every snap, or you can throw it every snap, right? It's my belief that you probably need to be able to do both.
I bet you see that tonight.
I bet that happens tonight. That's why they're in the pros, man. This is the highest level of football. They do it all.
Offensively, the name of the game is scoring points.
Oh. You think there's any points tonight?
I think so.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Is Jeremy Pruitt going to be watching tonight?
Why not? He doesn't have game to get ready
notes.
For.
That's right.
Yeah. Take all the notes you can take, man.
Running and passing.
It's going to be wonderful.
I can assure you that the gap is closing.
Oh, man. You got that one too, huh? Building up quite a catalog.
Yeah. Well, he's the gift that keeps on giving, my friend. Luckily, we don't have a whole lot of time today to talk about Jeremy Pruitt because I feel like my feelings have been made pretty clear this week. But
maybe
there's a time for a shot every now and then.
Maybe there will be a little bit of Vols fan level-headedness after a weekend of no football. Like, okay, let's all calm down. Maybe. I'm just throwing it out there. You think not.
No. I think that ship has sailed, my friend, for the remainder of this year. Joe, we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the formula for the Titans to win this game, particularly offensively. As you look at the other side and evaluate what you've seen from Phillip Rivers and the Colts this year, what do you think the Colts are going to try to do tonight? What do you think the formula is for them to come in here and get a win against the Titans?
Well, I think they have to look at the Titans' defense. You know, Stephen Holder said it yesterday. They haven't been very good against elite defenses. Been a lot better against so-so or worse defenses. And they have to look at the Titans and say, this is not an elite defense. I think they got to think they can run the ball. They have not run the ball well this year. Jonathan Taylor has had some moments, but he hasn't. I thought he might be dynamite as a rookie. Even with Marlon Mack, I thought Jonathan Taylor, that's a great pickup.
He got off to a pretty good start, and it just hasn't kind of carried through since then.
But I think the Colts look at the Titans and say, we can run on that team. You know, the Titans did a good job last week against the Bears, and again, not a very good offensive line, a really injury-riddled offensive line. David Montgomery, not great. He's okay. Titans did a good job. I mean, they've struggled against just about everybody at times in these games. But I think the Colts are looking at this game and saying, we can run on that team. With this offensive line, we can run on those guys. And, yeah, you set up the play action, and again, Phillip Rivers is a guy who is going to pre-snap, be as elite as any quarterback in the league, and is going to diagnose and find the right matchups and be accurate. And he'll complete a lot of passes tonight. And I think the formula for them is to run it and move the ball. And, you know, red zone is going to be so huge both ways in this game. But if they keep the ball and finish with touchdowns, obviously they feel good about things. I mean, their offense scored 10 points in the last game. So that offense has got to look at this game like, okay, this is a chance to really get going against a team that we should be able to handle.
And as far as running the ball is concerned, you brought up Jonathan Taylor. I mean, he had 6 carries in the last game. Jordan Wilkins led the way in carries last week, 11 carries, 39 yards against the Ravens. You've got Harris back there, Hines back there as well. There's bunch of different guys they're willing to give the ball to.
Ton of backs. And again, like their best back.
Yeah.
And Marlon Mack is very underrated. And I think this probably helps demonstrate that. He is a really forceful runner, and I think they miss that. But, yeah, they still – you know, the Hines-Taylor, that's a nice change of pace from each other. It should work out. Well, it's big for the Titans tonight is to not let that – because, again, I think if the Titans get them – I know third and long has been house of horrors for the Titans, but I think if they get a lot of third and longs tonight, you know, I think they've got to feel better against Phillip Rivers and those receivers – with Desmond King in, and we're going to see probably a lot of Breon Borders again.
Yep.
And good debut for him.
And it looks like T.Y. Hilton's going to be able to go tonight for the Colts. And look, T.Y. Hilton's not the same player that he used to be, but when he has been out there, I don't know if the Titans have covered T.Y. Hilton yet in his career. So always, if you're a Titans fan, I think pretty nervous of that guy out there on the field.
Yeah. No, he's done a lot of Titans killing.
Do you think that's the case because of – his age as it concerns T.Y. Hilton or because his quarterback can't push the ball downfield?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think what you're bringing up about Phillip Rivers not being able to push the ball down the field certainly is valid because that's where we've seen T.Y. Hilton do a lot of damage in his career. But I do think the explosiveness and injuries have slowed him down to where he's not quite the same guy. Yeah, not saying he's not dangerous, but he's not quite the same guy.
He's 30. You know, I mean, he's not the same, but I do think that the groin injury has to be a factor in his numbers this year, but could be a factor tonight. I mean, it could be slowing him down a little bit. And yeah, I think he's suffering from not having the vertical stuff that he's done before, but he does seem to see that Titans logo and step it up a notch.
And then on the other side of the ball, obviously the formula for the Colts is going to be similar to, I think, the formula for a lot of teams that come in here defensively, and that is, first and foremost, try to slow down the running game, try to stop Derrick Henry as much as they can. Here's what Darius Leonard of the Colts had to say about the challenge of stopping Derrick Henry in that Titans running game.
The thing with him, which is crazy, I would rather see him between the tackles. You know, between the tackles, you know, he's not that guy between the tackles, that pounder that's going, you know. I mean, he's still powerful, but he's more dangerous in space because he's so big. You don't know what he's going to do. He's, you know, he got speed, he got a stiff arm, and he's, you know, he got the size to run you over as well. So I just, you know, in my mind, you know, it's 11 versus 1 against him. You know, we always talk about hamstring tackles, get him to stop his feet, and you know, just gang tackle him. That's what it's going to take to beat this team. You got to stop the run. Got to be 7 plus to the ball, 11 plus to the ball, and you know, squeeze, wrap and roll his hamstrings, and just go from there.
So what do you make of those comments there, Joe, by Darius Leonard? The theme of not really being that guy between the tackles seems to come up a lot.
Fake courage. Yeah. Fake courage.
Fake bravery.
Oh, fake bravery. Fake bravery. It's a softened version of fake bravery right there, right? Did he say 11 plus? I don't think, unless they're putting, you know, extra man on the field. I don't think they can put 11
plus
on him. But
Derek Dooley defense? Bring your 14 guys out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. I mean, I think he's right. I think if you're the opponent, you'd rather Henry pound away at you for 4 than be out there and have one guy in the way of an 80-yard run.
Right.
So, sure, that's fine. I mean, they know they're going to have to stop him. And it's going to be really, really interesting. You know, what the Titans do there. Are the Titans like, look, we've got to go bread and butter, certain amount, and even if it's not popping, we got to keep going there? Or is Arthur Smith going to stray from that a little bit and maybe pass to run a little bit and get creative? That's a really good defense. You know, I'll be very interested to see. I mean, certainly we're going to see outside zone, inside zone, Derrick Henry. Of course, you have to run him. But I also think the Colts are probably going to do a great job early. That's a lot of teams have. Teams that aren't nearly as good as the Colts have done a really good job on him early. They've swarmed to the ball, yeah. and they knew it was coming, and they stopped it. Like, I expect them to stop it early in this game. You know, a lot of times what happens is you get to the fourth quarter, and the guy's a little bit late getting there, you know. A little bit less leverage up front. You get to the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden – he starts popping them. But I think for that to happen, the Titans have to get ahead in this game, too.
Yeah, and how patient are the Titans in sticking with the running game if it doesn't work, especially if the score is what I think it'll be. I think it'll be close the whole game. Like, I don't look at this Colts offense coming in here, even with the struggles the Titans have had defensively. Like, I don't look at this Colts offense and just start shaking in my boots. Like, I don't think Phillip Rivers really scares you all that much, not the same way he used to. The receiving core certainly doesn't scare me a whole lot. And the running game for Indianapolis hasn't gotten going yet. Now, we've seen some running games this year that hadn't been going all that well, run pretty well against, like, even the Texans. Like, Johnson ran okay against the Titans. Oh, yeah. He hadn't done nothing all year.
Now, they popped some runs in that game that were just really inexcusable. And you had them in good – you had them in great situations for you, and then it's like second and 12, and they, you know, just run off tackle for 10 yards. That was a very disappointing all-around defensive day, but especially in that way against the Texans. So, again, the Colts are built to run. They just haven't done it.
Right.
But that's what they want to do. And, again, their offensive line means they should be able to do it. I'm a little confused as to why it's been such a struggle, but I'm not fooled into thinking they couldn't do it against the Titans.
And this is a great game for Jadeveon Clowney if he's healthy. And, obviously, it looks like he's going to be out there. Get out there and help in the running game, because that's been – you can talk about the pass rush and all that. That's fine. That's been the most disappointing part about Clowney to me, is he hadn't made a whole lot of a difference in the running game when he's been out there, and that's got to change.
Yeah, and I think at times – I don't know if he made the mistake or not, or someone else did, but it looks like he gets out of position instead of setting the edge at times, not playing within the construct of the defense, not knowing when your help is, freelancing too much. It looks that way. You're always hesitant. You know, it's like you don't know exactly what the defensive call is, and maybe it was someone else. But I think that he should be better in that way and be more impactful. And, yes, he can be an impactful player without having sacks. We talked about that before he signed. But here's a great chance. He's had some extra rest. He's been out there fully all week. So it doesn't look like it's a big concern with the knee. So this would be a great time for him to step up and make plays.
When we come back, what do we think is the most important matchup in this game for the Titans against the Colts? We'll debate that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join us on Saturday, November 14th to support Stars by running, walking, or boogieing for the Nashville Striders' 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and it's on the certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can also show your support and participate virtually. It's up to you. That's Saturday, November 14th for the Nashville Striders Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit Stars. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's go back to our poll question of the day on Twitter at 102.5 The Game. Titans fans, which of these rivals do you hate the most? The Colts, the Jaguars, the Ravens, or other? You can list off others if you so choose. 197 votes so far, Joe. 41% say the Colts, 13% say the Jaguars, 40% say the Ravens, and 6% say other. A lot of votes for the Steelers in the other category. Got a tweet that says from Kasky on Twitter, if you don't pick the Ravens, you haven't been a Titans fan long enough.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I mean, I would probably go Ravens.
That would be where I would lean.
And I think a big reason for that is when comparing the Ravens and the Colts, is yes, the Colts have had the Titans number for years, but the Colts have not defeated the Titans in the playoffs.
Right. And there was also a pure hatred between the Titans and the Ravens on the field. Like, you could see it with Eddie George and Ray Lewis. They respected each other, but when they played against each other, I mean, it got rough.
Yeah, that there. Eddie George run over, that steamrolling of Ray Lewis, that was awesome.
Getting in each other's faces. Like, it's fun to see now, like, how, I guess, good of friends they are and how much they talk, but, man, those battles were intense back in the day. They really had that against Colts, like, I mean, Peyton talked some trash, but he talked trash to everybody.
So, okay, so they're playing the Ravens next week. So, Titans fans, the juices get flowing more for next week's game than this tonight?
I don't know.
I mean, the juices might be flowing more for the Ravens next week and their fans, because the Titans were the ones that...
For them.
that reverse the tables on them.
Yeah, I think
compared
the Ravens,
to what happened last decade.
I think they're really looking forward to the game against the Titans. I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, but this is, to me, this is the biggest game of the year tonight, to me. I mean, obviously, I mean, you can make an argument as you move on in the second half of the season. You could probably say that a few more times. I think tonight's game is gigantic. I mean, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Titans win this game, they are sitting pretty in terms of the race in the AFC South. If you don't, I mean, it's anybody's division at that point between these two. I think tonight's game is massive.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the bigness of this game. You know, you can look at the whole AFC picture, and obviously if you win this game, now you move on to, you know, next week you go to Baltimore, win that game. Now you can start thinking about even things beyond the division a little bit. But, you know, placement for the postseason. But, yeah, this is a game that, like you said, can set you up. And also, if you lose this game, there's a lot of doubt all of a sudden, yep, about where things are going. Now you get to go to Baltimore, and then you get to go play these guys in their house. So it's a huge, huge game. But the, just the rivalry question of it, you know, to me it's like fans, beyond the largest of the games, mm-hmm, what's more satisfying to win, or what's worse to lose? Which team do you hate losing to more? Which one do you like beating more? I would think the Colts would still prevail over the Ravens, especially because you got that playoff revenge on them last year. But I
think they still owe the Ravens a couple. But, yeah. Yeah. They still owe the Ravens, I think, a few more.
Yeah. I mean, you may never totally even that score. You know that you probably lost a Super Bowl because of
it. Yeah.
But I just – like, when you see someone every year and you know you're seeing them twice,
right,
doesn't that do something? Doesn't
it
that mean something?
Yeah. Look, I'm totally with you. Let's go back to our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville text in, maybe Eddie George should have a talk with Derrick Henry. I'd really like to see Derrick Henry mad when he runs. I guess going back to those Darius Leonard comments about, yeah, we'll see him between the tackles.
Well, that's just not Derrick Henry. Now, he did, he threw a little shade at Earl Thomas in Baltimore last year.
You know, that was awesome.
A little bit post-game stuff. But, hey, I mean, would you rather a guy talk trash or throw people aside like rag dolls, you know, when he's out on the field? I mean, I feel like he – I don't know if it's running angry, but that stiff arm leaves a lot of bodies in its wake, you know? It's just he's not –
Has Josh Norman landed yet? Do we think that he's hit the ground?
He's on one of those folding tables.
Oh, okay. I was just making sure. I was really concerned about his health after that play.
Yeah, it's just Henry's not going to – he's not that type of personality. But I think Ryan Tannehill's a little bit more like that.
Really?
Well, I mean, he's a little bit. You don't think so?
No, I agree. I just – like, I'm curious.
I mean, he's not Eddie George. I think shoot, Tannehill threw the and one out.
Yeah.
Right? He's got a little finger roll. I mean, he's got a little bit of that in-your-face stuff that Henry just doesn't seem to have at all. But Eddie George was pretty next level on that stuff.
He was a pretty intense guy.
Yeah.
So as you look at this game, Joe, and break down the matchups on both sides of the ball, what is the most important matchup for the Titans in this game, in your opinion? What's the most intriguing matchup that comes to mind when you think about the Titans and the Colts tonight?
I don't know if this is the most important matchup, but Jeffrey Simmons against Quentin Nelson is – for people who love trench play, which is what football is all about, it's a line of scrimmage game. Man, that is – when those two lock up, that's going to be something else. And everybody saw the last year at some point in that game, and Jeffrey Simmons wasn't even full strength Jeffrey Simmons. He was just getting going. I mean, he put Quentin Nelson on his butt, which everybody was like, whoa. And, of course, that got replayed over and over again. I suspect Quentin Nelson remembers that play too.
Yeah.
That's a great matchup. I mean, look, if the Colts can block Jeffrey Simmons with one guy, what's that mean for them? I mean, they have a guy right there who they feel like can block anybody, you know? So I don't know how much they're specifically matching up with each other, but they will some, and that's elite players going at each other. And if Jeffrey Simmons can't make a big impact on this game, then, I mean, the Titans' defense has been bad with him making an impact.
Right.
What happens if he doesn't make an impact?
I think we saw a little bit of that in Cincinnati.
Right.
So you don't want a repeat performance of that from Jeffrey Simmons. Porth, as you look at this game, what matchup either excites you the most? What do you dread the most? What is it about this game that that's got you all stressed out?
So the matchup that makes me dread this game is the Titans facing the Colts.
Okay.
Team versus team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But if I had to go a little deeper in the weeds on that, I really think Ryan Tannehill's got to get in a rhythm early and not what we saw against Pittsburgh early in the game, not what we saw against Chicago early in the game, because if Ryan Tannehill can get in a rhythm, the Colts are going to have to respect the passing game, and that could open up a big one for Derrick Henry. And the offense may not be able to move the ball every single drive, so they're going to need some big plays. So maybe a big shot downfield to Khalif Raymond in the passing game. You know, another big play from A.J. Brown. If they get those, maybe that opens up a big play for Derrick Henry. But I think the passing game has to get in a rhythm early.
And I think to that point, and you've heard me talk about this a lot this week, the most important matchup in this game to me is the offensive line as a whole. How do they handle the pass rush from the Colts? Because if they can handle it and they can step in there and it's just the offensive line, for the most part, having to do the protection, you got to open up the passing game a little bit in this game. I mean, I think having Jonnu Smith and utilizing him as a weapon in the passing game is crucial. I think, especially when you don't have Adam Humphries, if he's staying in there and helping with pass protection because your O-line just can't stop the Colts from getting in the backfield, I think it's going to be hard to get things done tonight offensively. I really do. I mean, this defense is really good. We've talked about that all week. If the Titans' offensive line can handle the Colts' pass rush adequately enough, where if you're Arthur Smith and Mike Vrabel, you trust them and just maybe don't chip quite as often and let Jonnu Smith be a part of the passing game, I think that makes a big difference for Ryan Tannehill. I really do. And I think that's the number one matchup I'm watching, especially early tonight in this game, is how much trust do the Titans have in their O-line against this Indy pass rush.
And those guys are good, too. They don't get talked about a lot, but Danico Autry's got five sacks. Justin Houston's got 3.5 sacks. I mean, they got edge guys who produce. And, that's really going to be interesting. How much do the Titans trust, again, both those tackles? Both of them have gotten help at different times depending on the matchup. So I think that's a great point. If they can protect with, five in a back more often, and Ryan Tannehill's going to be that much more dangerous.
I also think Anthony Firkser, this is a game where he kind of like the Buffalo game, making some key plays over the middle in those third and shorts. Since you don't have Humphries, Firkser has to be reliable.
You just stole my analysis.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay, buddy. That's all right.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in, I think the most important thing that needs to be running on all cylinders is the offensive line for protection and making room for Henry. Going to be a challenge tonight for that group, especially in the running game when you know that Indy's going to be stacking that box a little bit. And Indy's been very good against the run this year. DeForest Buckner, I mean, the dude is an absolute freak. And the Titans are going to have their hands full with him tonight at the line of scrimmage.
I mean, the Niners, Niners fans weren't happy at the time, and they can't be happy now. He made all those guys better last year.
And I know that team has been ravaged by injuries in San Francisco, but even early on, they didn't look the same without him out there. Even with Bosa, very briefly that he played this year, they didn't look the same without Buckner.
Right. I mean, when you have a guy like that, and again, that's what, like with the Titans, it's, different players, but that's what you hope the Simmons effect is. At some point, that he's such a monster in there that those other guys are better as a result of it. Certainly it has been that way for the Colts.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our man Ryan McGee. We'll get into some college football talk with him, some craziness running rampant with COVID in the SEC. Also get into a little bit of Vols talk as well. That's coming up next. But first, I've got a word from FanDuel, and you're watching the game and you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook and you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? You bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal here in Tennessee. And Robbie Stanley here to tell you it's been a fun time so far on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You can now place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, no strings attached. Just place any bet you want, and if you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. Titans a slight favorite tonight in the game against the Colts. And by the way, a nice boost option tonight on the FanDuel Sportsbook. If Derrick Henry gets 6 yards or more in the first quarter, you can win some money. Max bet up to $50 in that game. So that's maybe just like giving money away. So make sure you check that out under the boost section on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets, just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays where you combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. One of the really cool parts I've noticed about this app so far. So to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook. Promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.